morning sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
The sermon this morning is the ninth in a sermon series entitled Come into God's Presence, during which we are considering biblical worship and what it says to us about living in faith today. Our focus this morning is on what we can learn from the biblical practice by which people made offerings to God. Let's begin with a moment of prayer. May the words in my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This morning we heard one of the most troubling stories in the New Testament, the story of Ananias and Sapphira, who both dropped dead at the end of the story because of some sort of problem with their offering. That will make you nervous when we take a collection. People are often confused and disturbed by this story, so it is helpful to hear it again in a way that will make it clear and easy to grasp what is actually happening. We share with you the story once more in this video.
There are some stories that end with a quaint little phrase, and they lived happily ever after. But this is not one of those stories. This is the grim tale of Ananias and Sapphira. The early church had begun to flourish, and all the believers were getting along quite splendidly. They shared everything they had with one another, claiming nothing as their own. There were no needy people among them. Those who owned fields or houses sold them and brought the proceeds to the apostles as a gift. Joseph was one such man who sold a field he owned and brought the money to the apostles as an offering. And oh, what a wonderful blessing it was to everyone. All the believers were encouraged and celebrated Joseph's selfless act. Well, not everyone. A couple named Ananias and Sapphira, who were counted among the believers, saw the way Joseph was admired and grew very jealous. "He thinks he's better than us," they grumbled to each other. "We deserve that kind of attention." They dwelt on it day and night. Finally, one night, they devised a plan to sell a piece of land, secretly keeping part of the money for themselves and giving the rest to the apostles. They would not necessarily say they were giving all of the money they received from the sale. They would just let everyone assume it, and presto, they would instantly be famous as self-sacrificing believers who surrendered everything to Jesus. So, with his wife's consent, Ananias sold the land, secretly kept part of the money, and brought the remainder to the apostles. But Peter saw right through Ananias, saying, "Ananias, why have you let evil fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit, and you kept some of the money for yourself. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God." As soon as Ananias heard these words, he fell to the floor dead. Everyone who heard the news was filled with fear. Then some young men got up, wrapped him in a sheet, and took him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Everyone nervously watched as Peter asked her, "Was this the price you and your husband received for your land?" The room fell silent. "Yes," she replied, "that was the price." Peter responded, "How could the two of you even think of conspiring to test God like this? The young men who buried your husband are just outside the door, and they will carry you out too." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than she also fell down dead. When the young men returned, they found her body. They carried her out and buried her beside her husband. By this time, the whole church, and in fact, everyone who heard of these things, had a newfound respect for God. So, unfortunately, there's no happy ending in this tale, but there is a warning here to take God very seriously. Dare I say, deadly serious.
So So that is a story that we don't normally teach in our Sunday school. It's easy to draw the wrong conclusions from it. But understood rightly, the story communicates several important truths for life today. One message, as noted at the end of the video, is that we should take God seriously. A major feature in the religious landscape in America today is that many people take God lightly. They assume that we are not really accountable to God, that they can do whatever they want with no consequences on high. Many people assume that they certainly are not accountable to God when it comes to their giving. The story of Ananias and Sapphira communicates important truths with regard to how we rightfully respond to God. There's been a universal perception in world religion throughout history that we appropriately respond to God by making some sort of worthy offering to God. The earliest stories in the Bible repeatedly contain accounts of people making such offerings. In every religion, there's a deep sense that we've been blessed by God with life, with many gifts, and that therefore we should respond by offering something meaningful out of what we have to God. When people were simple shepherds and farmers, their offerings were the products of the field and flock, and we can see that in the agricultural offerings that were brought by the ancient people of Israel. Some of what they offered was burned on the altar as a sign of offering it to God. But as we noted previously in the sermon series, most of their offerings were actually distributed to the temple leadership or to other people. By New Testament times in the early church, people's offerings were in the form of money rather than goats or baskets of grain, and the offerings were used to support the church and to help the needy. But even as the form of offerings changed, there are basic principles that run consistently through the Bible in connection with offerings. The first foundational principle is that God is the ultimate giver. Many people today have the idea that somehow they deserve what they have, they've gotten what they possess by their own doing, and that therefore they don't owe God or anyone anything. But the Bible makes clear that everything that you have is a gift from God for the time that you are here on this earth. You have been given your life. You've been given whatever abilities that you have to earn an income. So in fact, everything that we have is due to God. This is why the principal image that Jesus uses when it comes to our possessions is that of a steward. We are people who have been entrusted with some possessions for a certain period of time and who will ultimately be called to give an accounting to the master. The next biblical principle, therefore, is that we should use our gifts in accordance with God's values, and that we should devote something significant out of what we have specifically to God's purposes. In Old Testament times, the benchmark guideline for that was the tithe, the practice of giving 10% of one's annual income to God's work. The practice of tithing went all the way back to Abraham. Jesus did not relax the tithe, but suggested that many people could go further. The tithes were brought to the temple, or to storehouses across Israel, where they were used to support the work of the temple or to help the poor and needy, much as we use offerings in the church today. The basic principle was that individuals' offerings were joined together so that collectively they could make a real impact. This is the biblical basis for why we bring offerings to the church, often in connection with worship, and we join together to make an impact for God in the world today. The offerings that people made to God in biblical days were always free will. Although there were clear scriptural guidelines for giving, no one was ever forced to give. This is one of the features in the story of Ananias and Sapphira. While there were some people like Joseph, who came to be called Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, who sold property and brought the wholesale price to the church, Ananias and Sapphira were free to do whatever they wanted with their field. as Peter said to Ananias, while the property remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, were not the proceeds at your disposal? No one forced Ananias and Sapphira to do anything in particular with regard to their property. So also today, our giving for God is freely up to our decision. But one thing very important in our response to God is honesty. When it comes to money, human beings are especially inclined to be deceitful. We see that in the news all the time. And that was the problem with Ananias and Sapphira. They lied about their gift. They could have given none of the property sale. They could have given a portion of the property sale and said they were giving a portion, and that would have been just fine and wonderful. But they claimed they were giving the whole sale when in fact they were only giving a part. Sapphira was offered a straightforward opportunity by Peter to come clean in the matter when he asked her, "Tell me whether you and your husband sold the land for such and such a price, namely the amount that they had announced and that they were giving to the church." She replied, "Yes, that was the price." A flat-out lie. Perhaps we are so accustomed to people telling lies today that we just take untruths as a matter of course. But in the early church, it was critically important that there was integrity and truthfulness, which can explain why the divine punishment in this case was swift and stern. The early church could not have long stood if there was deceitfulness at its core. But what motivated Ananias and Sapphira to lie about their gift in the first place? The video did a good job in pointing out the answer. They wanted glory and recognition for themselves. Today, a good deal of giving is motivated by the desire for recognition. A gift can get your name printed in a publication, or if the gift is massive enough, you can get your name inscribed on a wall someplace, or even on a whole building. But in the Bible, authentic giving lifts the glory to God. So Jesus said, "When you give, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that the gift may be done in secret." In Acts chapter 4, when Barnabas sold a field and brought the proceeds to the apostles, that became known in the early church, and the enthusiasm around that act may very well have spurred Ananias and Sapphira to make their deceptive gift in order to try to draw attention to themselves. Today in the church, we fully implement Jesus' teaching to keep giving secret. 2 weeks from today, it will be Consecration Sunday in our church, when we each have an opportunity to make a financial commitment to the work of Christ through this church for the coming year. But when we do that, we don't publish anybody's gifts, we make no announcements, we send off no fireworks announcing gifts. We also don't put any plaques around the building recognizing giving. You won't find plaques because of memorial gifts anywhere around the church. The only place we have a plaque and we have a room named after someone is Pearson Hall, but that is not because the Pearsons gave the money. It's rather because the congregation wanted to remember the work of Carl Pearson, the pastor here for 25 years, when the church moved to the site and built the building. By refusing to recognize people for their financial gifts, the church actually chooses to ignore a major motivating factor used by many institutions and charities today. But the church can do that because when people are followers of Jesus Christ, they are motivated by the love of God and the desire to give God the glory. The ultimate example of a sincere offering is Jesus Christ, who offered his whole life for the world, seeking no glory for himself, but lifting the glory to his Father in heaven. We are invited to follow Christ in making our own sincere offerings to God today. As Paul wrote to Timothy, Tell those who have much in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Tell them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they store up the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give thanks for your wondrous giving to us. You have bestowed upon us life itself. You've put us into this wondrous and beautiful world. You've given us relationships in which we can share and love with others. You have blessed us in so many ways, and you pour out upon us through your Son, Jesus Christ, the wonder of your everlasting love and the promise of life eternal in your kingdom. Lord, we respond in thankfulness and faith and praise, and we respond by lifting up our gifts to share in your work in the world today. Inspire us as we would join together in your church so that together we can grow in our faith. And we thank you for how, O Lord, we can join with one another to truly be at mission in the world at large. We thank you that we can reach out in a way such as through the Sager Brown Missions Depot, the team we have going there. We thank you for the many ways we can join in supporting missions right here in our own community, and those ways through which the larger network of our church missions, we can be a part of mission and outreach throughout the world. Inspire us, O God, as indeed we would so bountifully, joining together in the fullness of how your Spirit would empower us to be at work today, that, Lord, we may indeed join in how your love would flow through us. We can share in reaching out to your world and share in lifting to you the praise. Lord, we do reach out to persons who are in our times of particular need, and we thank you, Lord, for how indeed we can join together in the larger working of your people. We lift up this morning our fellow United Methodists at the Waltz United Methodist Church. Lead us, Lord, as we would devote ourselves to you and as we indeed join in giving to you the glory. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.